seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 119 and verse 49. Psalm 119 and verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The dear servant of God, David, was much exercised concerning the word that the Lord had spoken to him. And that is why we read together in the second book of Samuel, because the great concern was of David as he came toward the close of his life, the Lord would fulfill his word to him, which he had spoken. And this in particular, that concerning his own house and concerning the kingdom, we read, as we read in the lesson, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And the Lord was to wonderfully fulfill this. And David's great concern was that the Lord would do this. And now let us bring it home to us here. Have we got a word from the Lord that on which we hope and we need the Lord to fulfill it? David had it laid deep in his heart, didn't he, that he would build a house for the Lord. They dwelt in tents, but his great exercise was that the Lord would enable him to build it. But the Lord told him that he would not build the house, but Solomon would build it, because David was a man of blood and of war. And, you know, the Lord was to wonderfully fulfill that word which I have just read to you in that 16th verse of the chapter we read. And it didn't just mean concerning David. It meant the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And we read in Luke's Gospel, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she should bring forth the precious Son of God, and we read, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. You see what we read, how he said that he would establish the throne forever. And then we read this, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I believe before David died, you know, he had that beautiful view of the fulfillment of what the Lord had promised concerning the house of God that should be built and the throne which would be established forever, a beautiful view of the coming of the precious Son of God, the dear Lord Jesus, and that his throne should be established forever. So this was the exercise that's found really in our text, remember the word. Upon, unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And you see, if ever a man's hope was found in the Lord, it was in the heart of dear David. I want us help this evening to look at this word from a few viewpoints of it. First of all, he says, remember the word unto thy servant. Thy servant. Now, let us bring it right home to us. Are we the servants of God? Because as Mr. Tiptap said, I stand here either as a servant of God or a servant of the devil. There's no halfway. And that applies not only to the minister, it applies to each one of us. Are we servants of God? Do we serve the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and all our very being? What an honour it is if we are servants of the Lord. Does it burden your heart and exercise your heart and mind? Lord, are we one of thy children? Are we one of thy servants? You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve the devil and the world and your own deceitful heart and serve the Lord as well. So he says here, remember the word unto thy servant. You see, David had the sweet assurance that he was the Lord's servant, to serve the Lord and to serve him in reverence and in godly fear and to serve him with humility of mind and of heart and to serve the Lord in his fear. Wonderful thing the fear of God is, isn't it? It's found in the servants of God. It's not found in the servants of the devil. There's no fear of God in them. That filial fear. It's a beautiful word really, isn't it? The filial fear of the Lord. We used to hear it spoken so often by the old servants of God. That tender, loving fear. As a child has to its father, so are they that fear the Lord. So he says here, remember the word unto thy servant, thy servant. And may we be rightly concerned every day, each hour, as the Lord gives us grace to know we are servants of God, serving the Lord. But then, secondly, the word that he speaks to these servants. See, David could look back through his life as we read in the chapter this evening, and he could see how the Lord had spoken to him so many times through his life. Words of sweet promise. You know, if you and I are servants of the Lord, we shall be able to look back and to see those words which he has spoken. And those words that he speaks will be applied with divine power. Or they will. Whether it be through the ministry, whether it be through the reading of God's word, whether it be through circumstances, whether it be audibly from heaven, the word. And when we think of this, remember the word unto thy servant, there not only be words of comfort and encouragement and wonderful words of promise, but there will be words of reproof. You see, the Lord reproves his children sometimes. The flesh doesn't like it, does it? But you know, it's like a child naturally. You know, if they do something wrong, they should be reproved, shouldn't they? But think about it spiritually. Because the Lord loves his children, he reproves them, he corrects them. We read, don't we, the Holy Spirit has wonderfully left it on record through the Apostle Paul, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I remember, and I may have told you before, but I remember having a slight accident with my car. This was many years ago now, and I asked the Lord the reason why it had come. It really troubled me. And the Lord dropped those words. I could take you the very cattle yard where he spoke it to me. Bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight, but the true born child of God must not, would not, if he might. And you know, I could see in it the Lord correcting me, chastening me. And it was all done in love. And really, we need much grace to be submissive, don't we? And you know, when the Lord dropped that word, it made me so submissive to it. You see, if you can see the Lord's hand, and it may be like in affliction, he puts his hand upon us. It steadies us down, doesn't it? It sometimes reproves us. And sometimes it is for our teaching, because we need to be taught, don't we? We read, don't we, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And he teaches his dear people to profit. And you know, sometimes in affliction there's much teaching. The flesh doesn't like it. But oh, it teaches us to be dependent upon the Lord. It teaches us to lean hard upon him. It teaches us we got no power, no strength in and of ourselves. We're poor, weak worms of the earth. And the poor are the wretch, the hymn writer said, the welcomer here. And you know, those that are poor and needy need the Lord, don't they? So he says, remember the word unto thy servant. Now you look in your heart and mind tonight, have we got a word that we need the Lord to remember and to bring it to our remembrance? So firstly, are we servants of God? And secondly, if we are, there'll be those words that he will speak to us, a word from heaven. You may not be able to lay claim to much tonight, but have you just got one word from the Lord? And you long for the Lord to remember that word. Well, he says here, remember the word. Now, it may be a sweet word of promise. It may be this, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And you know, you won't want anything else. You won't need anything else, will you? If the Lord gives you that, I will never leave thee. Your friends may leave you. The enemies may leave you. Many may leave you, but he says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And when the Lord speaks such a word as that, you need the Lord to keep it in view in your heart, don't you? In your pathway. But I may come back to this, but I want to just come to another point here. He says, remember the word. Well, let's be very clear. The Lord never forgets what he's spoken to his dear people. So what did David mean? Well, when unbelief creeps in and our own deceitful heart begins to wander from the Lord, we forget what he has spoken. And we think the Lord has forgotten too, don't we? And therefore we pray, remember the word unto thy servant. You see, unbelief so creeps in so often, doesn't it? And what happens when it creeps in? We're doubting. And we doubt whether the word was from the Lord. And what David, in my little understanding of this, really was saying to the Lord, remember the word, was he needed it brought back by the Lord to him with the power and with the blessed savour and with the blessed application that the Lord may have spoken it to him many years before. You know, when the Lord gives a word, that word will live in the sinner's heart. Oh, it will. Now, sometimes it's at a low ebb. Sometimes you cannot even see it or feel it, and you wonder whether you've lost it completely. And you pray like the dear psalmist did here, remember the word unto thy servant. In other words, Lord, bring it back with the savour, the power, the blessed application that you had it in days past. And oh, you think of Jacob, it comes before me, so I will name it. When he was on his dying bed, and he was to bless the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And there on that dying bed, he looks back and the Lord brings before him what the Lord had spoken to him in days past and the wonderful revelation he had of the Lord Jesus and the wonderful deliverance he had. And what does he say? The God that fed me, led me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And he could look back to that word, what the Lord spoke to him. You see, he got a few words to look back at, didn't he, to what the Lord had spoken. when the Lord blessed him, when he was faced with Esau with 400 men against him. And not only that occasion, but he could look back to Bethel, where the Lord spoke to him. Oh, that's a beautiful word, isn't it? Which the Lord spoke to him at Bethel. And he was to never forget it. When he saw that ladder from earth to heaven. And you think in your heart and mind. And think of what the Lord promised him there, that the Lord be with him whithersoever he went. And you know the Lord promised David that, didn't he? And that's a great comfort to many of the Lord's dear children. I will be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. And I will bring thee again to this land. I remember some years ago preaching at Tunbridge Wells at the anniversary from that beautiful word, you know, concerning dear old Jacob. And there was a lady that had to go abroad, and she was so troubled about it. And she came up to that service. Lord, give me a word to go with. Give me a word to bring me back home. And you think it was so, she's never forgot it, you know. I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. At home or abroad, on the land, on the sea. That's what the dear hymn writer said. And I will bring thee again to this land. And you know the Lord wonderfully fulfilled it in every jot and tittle. So he says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. A word that you can hope in. You can rest on. A word that will stand when everything else fails. You know, the promises of the Lord are sure. They must and will be fulfilled. And they're words that the sinner can hope in. Oh, they are. Just going back to what I've just said regarding whithersoever thou goest, you think not only of dear father Israel Jacob, the Lord was to fulfill it right the way through his life. And then you can think of dear Joshua, the Lord promised him that, didn't he? In leading the children of Israel. That the Lord would be with him in all places, whithersoever he went. And the Lord wonderfully fulfilled it. Oh, he did. Even when he went into the land of Canaan and look at all the enemies that were in the land. The Canaanites were still in the land. And look at the walled cities and the giants there were there. But the word of God still stood. And what could the dear servant of God do? He hoped in that word. It's a word of hope. Upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now I don't know why I brought this word here tonight, but the Lord seemed to lay it upon me with a measure of power last evening, and And I thought, what a mercy it is, are those words that we can hope in. I think of that beautiful word the Lord gave to Joshua, and it's a word that I have had to hope in many times, and it's carried me. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. You think of, I don't know where you're in this evening, but you think of that. It was so suited to the case of dear Joshua leading the children of Israel. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. There was this great mountain before him leading such a rebellious and stiff-necked people, and he wasn't going to have Moses to go with him, so he couldn't lean and hope in Moses, could he? He got to go, venturing upon the Lord. The Lord was to take Moses home to glory. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He was personal, you see, to Joshua. He'll be personal to you. It's a word you can hope in. He will be with thee. Oh, think of that. Can you hope in that blessed word? He will be with thee. A word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He will be with thee. And then listen. He will not fail thee. You'll fail, child of God. I fail continually. There are many things that will fail around us. But the word will not fail, and the Lord will not fail his people. He will not fail. You may say, what, in that hour of need, in that affliction, in that trouble, in that which we've got before you? I know to go to the hospital just before Christmas and have several procedures done. I feared, you know. I felt so troubled, you know, how I was going to fare in it. But you think of that beautiful word, he will not fail thee. And you know, when I came out of that theatre, I sweetly felt the Lord had not failed me. His promise had still stood. He will not fail thee. Neither forsake thee. The devil may say, oh, but the Lord's going to forsake you. He's going to leave you. But think how comprehensive this promise is. I often say that, but you know that is true. The old preachers often used to refer to it that the promises of the Lord are comprehensive. You know, if you take an insurance policy out and a comprehensive policy, if it's real, will cover everything, not just some things. But think of the promises of God. He will never fail thee, neither forsake thee. And then listen, fear not. You may say, oh, but I've got so many fears. It's a word you can hope in. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I'll come back to the fear not in a moment, but be not dismayed. I love that word of the hymn writer, where he speaks of that, doesn't he? When hosts of enemies rise up to fill us with dismay, the Lord our God will make to pass his goodness before us in the way. Much may be upon you tonight to dismay you, but you see, that word of promise is a word you can hope in. And then, fear not. Oh, what a blessed word that is, isn't it? You think of dear Jairus when his daughter lay dead. the thing that he feared had so come upon him. There he was, full of fear. The message came, she was dead. But what did Jesus say? Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And oh, how that was to quieten the fears of that dear man. It was a word he could hope in. And his hope wasn't ill-grounded, was it? Why? Because the Saviour was to raise her up, made her rise, and she arose straightway. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It's a word, you see, what he gives you that you can hope in, you can lean on. It's like the old preachers used to say about a young person with a walking stick. You see a young person with a walking stick, they swing it around. They don't need it, do they? Often young people, and I say this lovingly and guardedly, not to attack any, you know, there are those that speak about a promise they've been given and they swing it around. But you know, the day will come, if that promise is of God, they'll have to walk with it. They'll have to lean on it. When the person gets old, they need the stick, don't they? They have to lean on it. They rely on it to a degree. They're dependent with it. Many cannot walk without them. And think about the promises of the Lord. This is what the promises of God are. They're for the sinner to rest on, to hope in, to lean on, to enable them to press on in the journey. We sung at the commencement, I thought it was very sweet to be able to sing it. How hard and rugged is the way to some poor pilgrim's feet. In all they do or think or say, they opposition meet. You see, they need these words to hope in. All they do. But just before I leave it. Oh, to hope in the precious blood of Jesus. Are there those words of hope, of pardon the Lord has given you? Think of this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And oh, if the Lord speak that to you, poor soul, it's a word of blessed hope you can rest on. Oh, it is. That precious blood will never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God, oh, be saved to sin no more. But then, oh, to rest and hope in those sweet promises he has spoken concerning the sins of his people. I will blot out as a thick cloud their transgression. And I will remember their sins no more. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy sins and will not remember thy transgressions any more. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed their transgressions from before thee. And so we may go on, son. Thy sins, that are many, are all forgiven. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Remember the word unto thy servant, on which thou hast caused me to hope. Now the Lord knows within each of our heart those words we can hope in. Like Paul, when the Lord spoke to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. it was a word that he could hope in, wasn't it? And may the Lord grant to each of us the sweet fulfilment of it. The Lord remember it to us, remind us of it, bring it back with power and the savour of heaven. Amen.